Politics is at the forefront of discussion these days. But does politics belong in the church? Here's a thought from Pastor Al Pittman.
They had a guy come here one time, and, you know, he wanted to know who I voted for. He just visiting your church, checking it out. Well, no, who'd you vote for in the election? I said, it's none of your business. It's really none of your business, but, you know, we love Jesus, and we teach the word. And if that's not enough for you, then you need to find another church. He went, oh, I want to make sure my pastor's and my politics are aligned. Well, you know, we're not preaching politics here. We preach Christ and him only. Amen. But he was looking for a church that pastor agreed with how he thinks the pastor should vote or whatever. Needless to say, he kept looking for another church. I invite anybody to continue looking for another church. If Jesus is not enough and that's all we have to offer here, then you need to just keep looking.
Dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place. You are my dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place.
Hello and welcome to today's edition of The Dwelling Place with pastor and author Al Pittman. We're honored to have you with us today as Pastor Al continues his new series in Titus, titled Setting Things in Order. Today, Pastor Al will concentrate our study on the topic of Christian conduct. There are so many temptations out there today that it's getting to be more and more of a challenge to conduct ourselves in a manner befitting a person of God. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to Titus, and he has some pretty pointed things to share about conduct becoming a Christian. Here's Pastor Al.
We have been talking about setting things in order in Titus chapter 3. And that was what Paul, the apostle, was. He sent a letter to Titus, on the church leader on the island of Crete, and asked him to set things in order within the church. We have talked about thus far common faith. In order to set things in order, we have to have several things. Common faith. The other thing we talked about was godly leadership. I'm sure you all remember these messages. Amen. We talked about sound doctrine. We said in order to set things in order, you have to have divine perspective. And today we're going to talk about setting things in order. We're going to talk about conduct becoming a believer. Titus chapter 3. I think this is a timely message for the day, and you'll see why as we get into verses 1 and 2, and then of course, we're going to go through the rest of the chapter. Because of the times in which we live, I think it's a very timely word for us. I pray that God would richly bless you through his word today. In the military, and those of you who've been in the military, you know that officers are expected to behave like ladies and gentlemen. Conduct becoming, unbecoming, is a form of code, a law, actually a rule in the military. It's a Uniform Code of Military Justice, MCMJ. Some examples of conduct unbecoming an officer are the following: cheating on a test or training event, lying, knowingly making a false official statement, being drunk and disorderly in public or on the base, and using insulting or defamatory language to an officer. Conduct unbecoming. In our text, Paul the Apostle basically presents a sort of uniform code of conduct for believers within society. We look at verse 1 here. If you'll read along with me, verse 1, he says, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to some men. All men, amen? All men. This is a timely message. Paul calls the church to experience, or to exercise, I should say, divine etiquette in public. Behavior in accordance with our uniform. So what is our uniform? What is the uniform of the believer? Well, the Bible tells us that our uniform, the uniform that we put on, if so to speak, is Christ. The presence of Jesus in your life. The Bible declares in Galatians chapter 3, for you are all sons of God, and through faith in Christ Jesus, For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, born again in Christ, not talking about just water baptism, but baptized in his death, Romans chapter 6 talks about, baptized in Christ have what? Put on Christ. Really? You have to put Christ on. We're adorned with the presence of Jesus. And not only that, Christ is our uniform, because we're called to be soldiers in Jesus Christ. Did you know that you were a soldier? Amen. In Jesus Christ, we're all called to be soldiers of Christ. You say, well, where's that in the Bible? I'm glad you asked. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 to 5. Paul talks about us being soldiers of Christ, therefore we do not get mixed up in civilian affairs, so that we might be free to serve our master. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't be involved in our communities and type things like that. But understanding that our heart, our devotion, must first and foremost be unto the Lord. And being soldiers of Jesus Christ, he doesn't send you into battle with a pretty looking uniform. Pretty looking uniforms never won any wars. He equips you with weaponry for spiritual warfare. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the Bible says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. We don't fight the way the world fights. For pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience. Amen. But when? When your obedience is fulfilled. Amen. We can't be obedient soldiers of the Lord if we're being disobedient in our lives. We can't bring every thought captive if we're not walking in obedience. Being a good soldier, an effective soldier, requires obedience. But not only obedience toward God, but in the context of our message this morning, obedience even toward men. Submit to ruling authorities, Paul says. In Acts chapter 24, verse 16, Paul declares, this being so, I myself always strive to have a good conscience, a conscience without offense toward God and men. Amen. Remember, we talked last week about the crosshairs and how the crosshairs make the cross. It's not just my relationship with God, but my relationship with man that matters. It is the vertical and the horizontal which makes the sign of the cross. I've heard people pray this, and I know if we're all honest, we probably have prayed it at one time or another. Lord, I love you, but I hate your people. No, you haven't prayed that one? All right. I guarantee you every pastor in America has. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, you can't say you love God and hate your brother, because God is love. Beloved, let us love one another, for God is love. Everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knows not God. So I cannot have a right relationship with God and hate my brother. I cannot have a right relationship with God and then hate other people. Hate politicians. They're people too. Amen. To submit to ruling authorities is really an act of faith. It's an act of faith. Why? Because we submit understanding by faith that God is ultimately in control. Amen. Give him praise and glory. Doesn't matter who's in the White House or Brown House, Black House, I don't care what kind of house. Amen. God is ultimately in control. At the trial of Jesus, he reminded Pontius Pilate of this. You know, Jesus was brought before Pontius Pilate, and Pilate was, you know, kind of, you know, again, sitting in the seat of Roman power and having the authority of Rome and really had the power to release people, to give them life or death. And he kind of reminded Jesus of that. Said, don't you know I have the authority to set you free, basically, is what he said. And you know, I can give you life or you can die here, you know. And Jesus had to remind him. Sometimes the Lord has to set us straight, amen. Pull back the curtain of eternity and say, you need to know something, amen. Because we think we're in charge. We think we're running things. And Jesus said this to him. He said that you could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Amen. Come on, church. You know what that means for us as believers? You can't do nothing about Pastor Al until God is done with him. If God allows you to take my life, then so be it, to the glory of God. Amen. Nobody can do nothing about you in Jesus Christ, because your power, the power that holds you, that sustains you, is not of man, but it's of God. Amen. So we submit in faith. Our subjection should be in accordance with Romans chapter 13. A lot of controversy over Romans chapter 13. But the bottom line is, God says submit for good, not evil. When we submit, it's for good.
The word submit has such a negative connotation these days. But as Pastor Al Pittman just reminded us, biblical submission, whether it be in the workplace, in a marriage, or anywhere else, is a good thing. Stay with us for the second half of today's message in just a moment. As we course our way through the year 2022, there are a lot of uncertainties. If there's one thing that needs to be consistent, it's the broadcasting of sound Bible teaching, like you hear every day on The Dwelling Place. We need your financial support to continue this radio ministry. To make a one-time donation or to become a monthly supporter, just go to cwccs.org or text the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. You can also send a donation through the mail to The Dwelling Place, 501 Castle Road, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80904. And on behalf of Pastor Al, thanks for your support, both through donation and through prayer. Pastor Al mentioned Romans chapter 13 just before the break. Let's join him there now as we begin the second half of today's edition of The Dwelling Place.
Well, let's read Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 5. Quickly here, he says, Paul the Apostle's writing says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. For there is no authority except from God. Amen. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Evil. Do you not know? Do you not want, rather, to be afraid of the authority? Then do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. You don't want to be afraid of the authorities, drive the speed limit. Amen. I know some of you are speeding getting to church this morning. That's all right. God bless you. But you know how it is when you're driving down I-25 and you don't see that state trooper on the side there, and you go, whoom, by me, you know, and you go, oh, that cold sweat comes over you. Oh, y'all don't know nothing about that. All right. Anyway. Amen. Verse 4, for he is, or she is, God's minister to you for good. Again, good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. You see there? Evil, good. Evil, good. Submit for the good of society. Drive the speed limit. You slow down to 20 miles an hour in a school zone. Why? Nobody tell me what to do. I'll do 90. No, you do it for the good of society. For good, not evil. Amen. So that's the theme here. Submit for good and not evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, I might go to jail, but also for conscience sake, because of my conscience toward God. I want my conduct to be becoming and to be that of a believer in Jesus Christ. Amen. So we go back here to Titus chapter 3. So we see that, you know, Paul says this is the when he talks about being subject, this is what he's talking about, Romans 13, being subject. Now, again, he says, God is over all authority. And, you know, a few elections back, I had some people who really struggled, you know. The candidate didn't get elected president, and, you know, God can't be in this. Yes, he is. Amen. He's over all authority. I had a guy come here one time, and, you know, he wanted to know who I voted for. He just visiting a church, checking it out. Well, who'd you vote for in the election? I said, it's none of your business. It's a private ballot. It's really none of your business, but, you know, we love Jesus, and we teach the word, and if that's not enough for you, then you need to find another church. He went, well, I want to make sure my pastor's politics are lining up. You know, we're not preaching politics here. We preach Christ and him only. Amen. We preach Christ and him crucified. But he was looking for a church that, you know, the pastor agreed with how he thinks the pastor should vote or whatever. You know, needless to say, he kept looking for another church. Well, I invite anybody to continue looking for another church. If Jesus is not enough, because that's all we have to offer here, then you need to just keep looking. Now, see, this is what people wrestle with. I can't believe God allowed that person to be in the White House, whatever. Hey, God is sovereign. Now, it says God is sovereign. It doesn't mean that God endorses the wicked agenda of governments. It simply means God is sovereign over that government so that what man means for evil, God turns it around and uses for good and his glory. Amen? I'm going to say something here that's a little controversial, but, you know, I really do believe that if it was not for Adolf Hitler, there would not be an Israel today. My point being is there was no state of Israel. There was no nation of Israel, you know, before May 14, 1948. And Jews didn't want to leave Europe and go to that desolate Palestine. Palestine was the land of the Jews. That's what it was known as. They didn't want to go there, and I remember being in Israel, going to the Holocaust Museum, and I'll never forget that postcard, basically that was from someone had written to a relative in Germany somewhere in Eastern Europe and saying, hey, you know, come to Palestine, you know, and all. And they said, you know, we don't want to go to Palestine. It's too hot there. And little did they know that Hitler was firing up the ovens. They wouldn't have gone there, but because of the persecution of the Jews and because of World War II and 6 million Jews were killed, now Israel, they flocked to Israel and Israel became a nation, May 14th, 1948. Now, did God want those people to be slaughtered? No, he didn't endorse the agenda of Hitler, but what the devil meant for evil, God turned it around for good. Amen? To fulfill his promise. Some people may have a problem with that, but you know, his ways are not our ways. As the heavens are above the earth, so are the ways of the Lord. Now, having said that, amen, here we go. Is there ever a time that we should oppose the edicts and orders issued by ruling authority? I believe the answer to that question is yes on two accounts. Number one, when ruling authorities violate a higher law. I'm talking about in the context of America, it's not for the whole world, but I mean it can be applied to other nations as well. But here in America, when ruling authorities violate a higher law. You say, oh, you're getting political. No, I'm getting biblical. Stay with me. Jim Crow was a law, was it not? It was a law of the land in the South against African Americans being able to use the same water fountains, restrooms, or any place else that white people did. Jim Crow laws. You were less than a citizen. Jim Crow laws was in direct violation of a higher law called the Constitution of the United States of America. And that's why I could not stand. I should never stand, because it violated a higher law. You say, well, you know, where's that in the Bible? Well, here's an example. I'm glad you asked. The Apostle Paul exercised his citizen rights in Acts chapter 22, verses 25 and 26, when an order was issued that violated a higher law in his case. Many of you know the story, a Roman commander, a ruling authority, the ruling authority there, ordered him to be scourged, to be beaten. And the apostle, Paul, protested, citing a higher law. What was the higher law? That he was a Roman citizen. And when he said he was a Roman citizen, the Roman commander jumped back. Jumped back, Jack, amen? Because if he, a Roman citizen, could not be scourged, could not be beaten without a trial, and he knew that if he would beat this Roman citizen, who was naturally born a Roman citizen, Paul the Apostle, that he himself might be under the penalty of death. And so when he found out this guy's a Roman citizen, hands off. And he was able to avoid being scourged. And Paul was beaten other times, but he didn't care about his citizenship. Amen. But with Rome, he was a Roman citizen. He appealed to a higher law. The other area, I believe, that we can oppose ruling authorities when orders are sent forth and all, when these orders violate our religious freedom. Acts chapter 4 gives us the biblical example. Well, what's happening there? In Acts chapter 4, the apostles were threatened with bodily harm by the ruling religious authority, the Jewish Sanhedrin. If you ever speak in the name of Jesus again, we'll beat you within an inch of your life. You can't practice this Christianity. You know, and these are religious folks saying that. And today, and I tell you, the day is coming where people calling themselves Christians will be against the church, against the word of God. We see it now. But they were the ruling authority, religious ruling authority for Jews. And Peter and John replied, appealing to a higher authority, a higher law. Acts chapter 4, they said, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Wow. When the government comes down and says, you cannot preach this, we're going to have to say, well, you judge. Is it better for me to speak the things that God has shown us, revealed to us, or what you say? And we must speak the things we have seen and heard. Amen.
This has been The Dwelling Place, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Al Pittman, senior pastor at Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. If you enjoy Pastor Al's teaching ministry, we have some good news for you. You can listen, watch, or download an archive of past messages and our current series in the Book of Acts with a simple mouse click at cwccs.org. Just click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're checking out our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com. And I would also like to ask you to take a few moments today to send Pastor Al an email and let him know that you enjoy The Dwelling Place on this station. You can also share a prayer request with us. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. Have you considered becoming a financial supporter of The Dwelling Place? We really need your support to keep this radio ministry going and growing. You can support this program with a one-time gift or become a monthly supporter. If you'd like to join our support team, you can do so at our website, cwccs.org, or by texting the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center. You'll find directions and more information at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. You'll find directions and service times for both locations at cwccs.org. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and join us next time for another study in the Book of Acts. The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman is presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado.